There is a peculiar richness to lying still in bed. From the outside, almost nothing is happening. A body under a blanket, perhaps one arm bent at the elbow, perhaps a foot uncovered because the room is a little too warm. The face is still. The eyes may be closed or half open in the dimness. There is no obvious task being performed, no tool in the hand, no conversation, no walking, no eating, no reading. And yet, if we could gently turn our attention inward, not in a dramatic way, but as if lifting the edge of a curtain, we would find that this quiet person is not inactive at all. The body is doing an astonishing number of things. Not things in the usual sense with intention and visible effort, but processes, adjustments, exchanges, small corrections, rhythms nested inside other rhythms. The evening body is never merely lying there. It is balancing gases, filtering blood, adjusting temperature, digesting fragments of an earlier meal, weighing memories, softening some neural circuits, and strengthening others. It is noticing the pressure of the mattress, then partly deciding that the pressure is not worth noticing. It is listening to the room, and if nothing in the room changes, gradually lowering the priority of sound. It is running old patterns and preparing for sleep, that strange state in which consciousness loosens its grip, but the organism continues with extraordinary care. One place to begin is with the breath, because the breath is one of the few inner processes that can be both automatic and felt. A person lying quietly in bed is breathing, of course, but that simple word hides a sequence of delicate events. The diaphragm, a broad dome-shaped muscle separating the chest from the abdomen, draws downward with each inhalation. The ribs may expand slightly. Air moves through the nose or mouth, down the throat through the branching airways of the lungs, until it reaches the alveoli, tiny sacs with walls so thin that gases can pass through them. There, oxygen enters the blood and carbon dioxide leaves it. This exchange is not driven by a conscious thought like, I need more oxygen now. It is regulated continuously, especially by levels of carbon dioxide and the acidity of the blood. Receptors in the brainstem and in major blood vessels monitor these levels with unromantic precision. If carbon dioxide rises, breathing deepens or quickens. If the body is calm, warm enough, and at rest, the breath may slow. There is something interesting about this. The body is often more concerned with carbon dioxide than oxygen. We tend to imagine breathing as a search for oxygen, and in a broad sense it is. But the immediate sensation of needing to breathe usually comes from the buildup of carbon dioxide. The body is always attending to the byproducts of its own life. In the evening, if the person is comfortable, breathing may become more regular. The muscles of the face loosen. The jaw may release slightly. The tongue settles in the mouth. The air passing through the nose is warmed, humidified, and filtered. Tiny hairs and mucus trap particles that drift unseen in the room. Dust, fabric fibers, pollen, skin cells, little traces of the day's environment. The body is porous, but not unguarded. A quiet room is never perfectly still either. There are small noises, the hum of a refrigerator somewhere, a car passing outside, pipes ticking, the faint shift of bedding as the chest rises and falls. The ears continue to collect these sounds. The eardrum vibrates. Tiny bones in the middle ear carry movement inward. Fluid shifts in the cochlea, bending hair cells, transforming mechanical motion into electrical signals. Even with the eyes closed, the brain is not cut off from the world. It is still sampling, but it is also deciding what to ignore. This is one of the great hidden labors of the nervous system. Not awareness, but filtering. The pressure of the pillow against the skull, the weight of the blanket, the texture of fabric against skin, the temperature difference between covered and uncovered parts of the body, all of these are available as signals. If attention turns to them, they become vivid. If attention drifts elsewhere, they fade. The fading is not because the signals vanish. Receptors in the skin continue firing. Nerves carry information into the spinal cord and upward to the brain. But the brain reduces the importance of steady, predictable input. A new touch matters. A continuing touch matters less. This is why clothing disappears from awareness after it is put on. Why the mattress can support the body all night without becoming a constant subject of thought. There is an elegance in that. To perceive everything equally would be unbearable. The nervous system protects us by editing. The skin, meanwhile, is not only sensing, it is regulating. Blood vessels near the surface of the body narrow or widen depending on temperature. In the evening, as the body approaches sleep, core temperature tends to drop slightly. This is not simply cooling down in a passive sense. It is coordinated. Warm blood can be directed toward the hands and feet, allowing heat to leave the body more easily. The skin becomes a kind of radiator. This is one reason warm feet can make sleep feel more attainable. It is not that warm feet contain some mystical sleep signal, but that dilated vessels in the extremities help release heat from the core. The body, preparing for sleep, often needs to become a little cooler inside. At the same time, the room may be cooler than the body, and the blanket creates a small climate around the skin. Under the covers, humidity rises slightly. Heat is trapped. The air becomes more still. A bed is not just a piece of furniture. It is a temporary weather system. Inside that little weather system, the cardiovascular system continues its steady work. The heart does not rest in the same way that the limbs rest. It may slow, particularly if the person is relaxed, but it continues to contract and release, contract and release. Blood leaves the heart under pressure, moves through arteries, arterioles, capillaries, venules, veins, and returns. In the capillaries, substances are exchanged, oxygen delivered, carbon dioxide picked up, nutrients distributed, waste products carried away. When lying down, gravity changes its influence. During the day, standing or sitting, blood and other fluids tend to pool somewhat in the lower body. Veins, aided by valves and muscle contractions, return blood upward. But in bed, horizontal, the task changes. Fluid redistributes. The heart may receive slightly more blood returning from the body. The kidneys may interpret this shift as a sign that fluid volume is sufficient, which is one reason some people need to urinate after lying down for a while, especially in the evening or night. The kidneys themselves are quietly sorting the blood. They filter plasma through tiny structures called glomeruli, then reclaim what the body still needs: water, sodium, glucose, amino acids, bicarbonate. They allow some substances to leave as urine. This is not crude filtration, like a sieve in a sink. It is more like a long series of negotiations: keep this, release that, reabsorb some water here, adjust the salt there, maintain acidity within narrow bounds. Blood chemistry is, in a sense, a form of ongoing composition. Too much of one ion, too little of another, and cells begin to falter. The quiet evening body is full of such balances, each one so ordinary that it vanishes from thought. Digestion may still be underway too. Even if dinner was hours ago, the gastrointestinal tract may be processing what remains. The stomach churns and releases its contents gradually into the small intestine. Enzymes break proteins into amino acids, carbohydrates into simpler sugars, fats into fatty acids and monoglycerides. Bile from the liver and gallbladder helps emulsify fats, making them easier to absorb. The pancreas contributes digestive enzymes and bicarbonate, softening the acidity of stomach contents as they enter the intestine. The intestines have their own nervous system, sometimes called the enteric nervous system. It is not conscious, not in the way the brain is conscious, but it is complex and locally intelligent. It coordinates muscular waves, secretion, absorption, and communication with immune cells and microbes. In bed, while the person thinks of nothing in particular, the gut may be contracting in slow waves, shifting material along its length. And the microbes are there too. Trillions of bacteria and other organisms inhabiting the digestive tract, metabolizing fibers and compounds the human body cannot digest alone. They produce short-chain fatty acids, interact with the immune system, influence inflammation, and participate in the chemical ecology of the body. The person lying in bed is not one organism in the simple sealed sense. They are an ecosystem with a name. This can be an odd thought in the quiet. The self feels singular from the inside. One stream of experience, one field of sensation, one sense of being here. But biologically, the boundaries are less tidy. Mitochondria, the energy-producing structures inside cells, have ancestral roots in bacteria. The gut contains multitudes. The skin is inhabited. The immune system is constantly distinguishing self from not self, and also learning to tolerate many forms of not self that are useful or harmless. Even stillness is communal. The immune system, too, is active in the evening body, not necessarily in the dramatic form of fever or illness, but in surveillance and maintenance. Immune cells move through the blood and tissues, some patrol, some wait, some clear cellular debris, some respond to signals of damage or infection. The body is continually repairing small injuries that never become noticeable. Tiny breaks in tissue, oxidative damage, misfolded proteins, cells that have reached the end of their useful life. Cells die in orderly ways. Apoptosis, programmed cell death, is a kind of biological tidying. A cell dismantles itself without spilling its contents chaotically into the surrounding tissue. Other cells remove the remains. This happens all the time. Quietly, without ceremony. It is strange to think that lying peacefully in bed includes countless microscopic endings. It also includes renewal. Cells synthesize proteins. DNA is read and transcribed into RNA. Ribosomes translate RNA into chains of amino acids that fold into shapes, becoming enzymes, receptors, structural components, signaling molecules. The body is not a static object maintained like a stone statue. It is more like a pattern preserved through constant replacement. The atoms in the body are old, borrowed, passing through. The pattern is the more continuous thing. In the brain, evening brings its own shifting atmosphere. The brain is often described as active during rest, and this is true, but active can sound too blunt. The resting brain is not merely idling like an engine at a stoplight. It is reorganizing its attention. When no external task dominates, certain networks become more prominent. One of these is often called the default mode network, a set of brain regions associated with self-referential thought, memory, imagining, and wandering. This is the network that may become active when the mind drifts from the ceiling to an old conversation, from an old conversation to a childhood room, from that room to the smell of rain on pavement, and then to a thought about whether the window is open. The resting mind is not empty, it is associative. Lying in bed, the person may experience thoughts that do not move in straight lines. Day residue appears, a phrase from an email, the face of someone in a shop, a task unfinished. The brain is not simply replaying the day like a recording. It is selecting, recombining, testing emotional weight. Some memories are tagged as important, others fade quickly. The hippocampus, a structure crucial for forming and organizing memory, is deeply involved in these processes. There is evidence that sleep helps consolidate memories, but even before sleep arrives, the mind may begin loosening its grip on the day's chronology. Events become impressions, impressions become fragments, fragments attach themselves to one of the tender oddities of evening thought. Is that it often brings together things that daytime would keep apart. A practical worry sits beside a memory of a pet. A line from a song merges with the image of a streetlight. A feeling arrives before the story that explains it. This may be inconvenient if one wants a clean transition into sleep, but it is also part of the brain's nature. It does not store life in neat boxes. It stores by association, by resemblance, by emotional tone, by repeated use. Neurons communicate through electrical impulses and chemical signals. An impulse travels along an axon. Neurotransmitters are released into a synapse. Receptors on another neuron respond. But this is not a simple chain of sparks. Each neuron may receive thousands of inputs. Some make it more likely to fire, some less likely. The state of the whole system matters. Neuromodulators such as serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine, acetylcholine, and others alter the conditions under which signals are sent and received. As evening deepens, the balance of these systems changes. Alerting signals may reduce. The hormone melatonin, produced by the pineal gland in response to darkness, as interpreted through the circadian system, rises in the evening for many people. It does not knock the person unconscious. It is more like a chemical note saying that night is biologically present. The circadian clock, centered in the suprachiasmatic nucleus of the hypothalamus, coordinates daily rhythms across the body. It receives information about light from the eyes, especially from specialized retinal cells sensitive to brightness. This clock influences sleep timing, hormone release, body temperature, metabolism, and more. It is less like a single clock on a wall, and more like a conductor coordinating many cellular clocks in different tissues. Every cell with a nucleus has patterns of gene expression that rise and fall across the day. The liver has rhythms. Fat tissue has rhythms, the heart has rhythms, the immune system has rhythms. Lying in bed in the evening, a person is a constellation of clocks. not always perfectly synchronized, but generally aligned enough to create the recognizable feeling of night. The eyes, even closed, may still receive faint light through the lids. If the room is dark, the visual system quiets, but it does not switch off. The retina continues its maintenance. Photoreceptor cells, rods, and cones have metabolically demanding lives. They renew parts of themselves. They process visual pigment. The eye is not a camera resting on a table. It is living tissue nourished by blood, regulated by fluid pressure, cleaned by tears. If the person opens their eyes briefly in the dark, the room may appear first as a blur of shapes. The visual brain interprets limited information, filling in edges and distances. Familiarity does some of the work. A chair is known before it is clearly seen. A pile of clothes may momentarily become a figure, and then return to cloth. Perception is not raw data delivered whole. It is a collaboration between sensation and expectation. This collaboration continues with the body itself. The brain maintains maps of the body, the position of limbs, the state of muscles, the boundaries of skin. Proprioceptors and muscles and joints report stretch and position. The vestibular system in the inner ear reports orientation and motion. In bed, when movement is minimal, these signals are quieter but still present. The brain knows roughly where the hands are, whether the knees are bent, whether the head is turned. Yet after lying still for a while, the body's outline can become less distinct. A hand may feel larger or smaller than usual. The boundary between the back and the mattress can soften. This is not mystical. It is what happens when stable sensory input is deprioritized. The self as felt through the body is partly maintained by change. Without movement, some edges blur. Small movements eventually arise. A swallow, a shift of the ankle, a change in jaw position, the shoulder rolling slightly to relieve pressure. These movements may happen before they are fully noticed. The spinal cord and brainstem coordinate reflexes and patterns that do not require deliberate planning. If pressure builds in one area, discomfort slowly enters awareness, and the body adjusts. Pain and discomfort are not merely measurements of tissue status. They are interpretations, protective experiences produced by the nervous system. A hip pressed too long into the mattress becomes an object of attention because attention may lead to movement, and movement may prevent injury. The body is not just reporting the world, it is persuading itself to act when needed. As sleep approaches, consciousness may become porous. Thoughts lose their grammar. Images appear without intention. These hypnagogic experiences at the border of sleep can be visual, auditory, tactile, or abstract. Someone may hear their name, see a brief landscape, feel as if stepping off a curb, or notice a phrase that seems meaningful, and then dissolves when examined. The brain is shifting modes. External monitoring decreases. Internally generated imagery becomes more vivid. Muscle tone changes as well. In deeper sleep stages, muscles relax further. And during REM sleep, most skeletal muscles are actively inhibited, preventing dream movements from being acted out. But before sleep, there may be small jerks called hypnic jerks. The body twitches as if surprised by its own descent. No one fully agrees on why these happen, though they are common. A falling sensation may accompany them. The quiet body startles, then settles again. While all this unfolds, the brain also tends to its own physical environment. For a long time, the brain's waste-clearing processes were less understood than those of other organs. The lymphatic system, which helps clear waste in much of the body, seem not to operate in the brain in the usual way. More recently, researchers have described the glymphatic system, a process involving cerebrospinal fluid moving through spaces around blood vessels, helping clear metabolic waste products from brain tissue. This process appears to be especially active during sleep, and perhaps begins to matter as the body transitions toward it. The brain, so often imagined as a seat of thought, is also tissue that must be washed, fed, protected, and drained. It consumes a large share of the body's energy. Neurons are demanding cells. Their electrical gradients must be maintained. Ions must be pumped. Synapses must be regulated. Glial cells, once treated almost as supporting actors, are deeply involved in metabolism, immune defense, neurotransmitter regulation, and the shaping of neural circuits. Astrocytes help manage the chemical environment around neurons. Oligodendrocytes produce myelin, insulating axons and allowing signals to travel efficiently. Microglia monitor the brain's internal environment, responding to injury and pruning synapses during development and perhaps throughout life. The mind rests upon a society of cells that do not think in the ordinary sense yet make thought possible. In the liver, chemistry continues with almost industrial complexity. The liver stores and releases glucose, processes fats, detoxifies substances, produces proteins found in blood plasma, and helps regulate metabolism. If the person had a glass of wine earlier, enzymes may be breaking down alcohol. If they took medication, the liver and kidneys may be involved in modifying and clearing it. If they ate carbohydrates, insulin and glucagon help manage blood sugar levels. The pancreas senses glucose and releases hormones accordingly. Blood sugar is not just fuel in a general way. The brain depends heavily on a steady supply of glucose, though it can use ketones under certain metabolic conditions. Too little glucose and consciousness is threatened. Too much, over time, damages vessels and tissues. Again, lying quietly involves regulation within narrow tolerances. The endocrine system speaks in slower messages than the nervous system. Hormones travel through blood, reaching distant tissues. Cortisol, often associated with stress, follows a daily rhythm, usually lower in the evening and rising toward morning. Growth hormone is released especially during early sleep, contributing to tissue repair and metabolism. Leptin and ghrelin participate in hunger and energy regulation. Sex hormones follow their own patterns across days, months, and years. The body is not only in this hour, it is in many timescales at once. There is the second-by-second rhythm of the heart. The breath, measured in a few seconds more. The ultradian rhythms of sleep stages, cycling roughly across the night once sleep begins. The circadian rhythm of day and night. Monthly hormonal rhythms for many bodies. Seasonal influences of light. Developmental time. Childhood, adolescence. Adulthood, aging. Cellular time. Proteins lasting minutes or days. Cells lasting days or years. Bone remodeling across months. Memories changing across decades. A person lying in bed is therefore not simply located in space. They are layered in time. Even bone, which seems solid and finished, is alive and responsive. Cells called osteoblasts build bone, osteoclasts break it down. Mechanical forces influence this remodeling. During a day of walking, standing, lifting, and sitting, the skeleton receives signals. At night, the same skeleton lies unloaded in a different way. Cartilage, ligaments, tendons, fascia, all the connective tissues, hold histories of movement and posture. Some tissues have limited blood supply and heal slowly. Others are richly supplied and constantly renewed. Muscles at rest are not inert either. They maintain a baseline tone, they receive blood, they repair microdamage, they manage stores of glycogen. After exercise, even mild exercise, molecular pathways involved in adaptation may remain active for hours. A walk taken in the afternoon is still, biochemically, present in the evening. This is one of the lovely things about the body. Events do not end when attention leaves them. The meal continues as digestion. The walk continues as metabolism and repair. The conversation continues as memory and emotional processing. Sunlight continues as circadian signaling. The day is folded into the night. And then there is the simple fact of gravity and pressure. The parts of the body touching the bed are compressed. Capillaries in those areas may be slightly squeezed. If pressure remains too long, blood flow can be reduced and the nervous system encourages a shift. In healthy sleep, people move periodically, often without waking fully. These movements protect tissue, redistribute load, and adjust temperature. Sleep looks still only from a distance. Over the night, the body turns, flexes, extends, withdraws, uncovers, recovers. In the evening before sleep, the person may consciously choose a position. On the back, side, or stomach, each position changes airflow, spinal alignment, pressure points, and even the likelihood of snoring. When lying on the back, the tongue and soft tissues of the throat may fall backward slightly, narrowing the airway in some people. On the side, the airway may remain more open. The body's geometry becomes physiology. Snoring, when it happens, is vibration. Air passes through a narrowed airway, causing soft tissues to flutter. It can be harmless, or it can be a sign of obstructive sleep apnea, in which breathing repeatedly pauses or becomes shallow during sleep. But in an ordinary quiet evening, the airway remains open, the breath moves, and the brainstem continues its ancient vigilance. The brainstem is worth pausing over. It is not glamorous in the way the cerebral cortex is. It is rarely associated with personality or imagination. yet it is essential for wakefulness, breathing, heart rate, swallowing, and many reflexes. Damage to small regions of the brainstem can be catastrophic. Much of what keeps a person alive while they are not thinking about staying alive depends on these older structures. There is humility in that. The parts of the nervous system most necessary for survival are not the parts that narrate themselves. The narrating part, meanwhile, may still be active. Inner speech may wander. Some people hear thoughts as words, others think more in images, sensations, or abstract relations. The evening mind may rehearse, revise, explain, or invent. It may also fall into loops, returning to a concern. This looping is not a moral failure or a sign of weak discipline. It is one possible behavior of a predictive brain trying to reduce uncertainty. Unfinished matters remain more available to attention than completed ones. But if the environment stays safe and dim, if the body is fed enough and comfortable enough, if the circadian tide is moving towards sleep, these loops gradually lose intensity. The thalamus, which helps relay sensory information to the cortex, changes its patterns as sleep begins. The cortex shifts into slower rhythms. Alpha waves may give way to theta activity. In deeper non-REM sleep, slow waves become prominent, broad pulses of neural activity moving across the cortex. But before all that, there is the borderland. The person may notice breathing, then forget it. Notice warmth, then drift. A thought begins and does not finish. The room remains present but less central. The body, which all day has been an instrument for reaching, carrying, speaking, navigating, becomes more like a landscape being inhabited. In this landscape, countless cells are using ATP, the energy currency produced largely through cellular respiration. Mitochondria take fuel molecules and, with oxygen, generate ATP through pathways that include the citric acid cycle and oxidative phosphorylation. The oxygen drawn in by the lungs becomes part of this microscopic economy. The carbon dioxide breathed out is the residue of cellular energy production. Each exhale is not only air leaving the lungs, it is the atmosphere receiving the chemical trace of metabolism. There is something quietly intimate about that exchange. The room enters the body as air. The body returns itself to the room as breath. The boundary between person and environment is maintained, but it is also crossed every few seconds. Water crosses boundaries too. It moves between compartments, inside cells, between cells, within blood, through kidneys, across membranes. Electrolytes follow gradients and pumps. Sodium, potassium, calcium, chloride, small charged particles essential for nerve impulses, muscle contraction, fluid balance, and pH. The body is wet electricity, organized by membranes. Membranes are among life's great inventions. Each cell membrane separates inside from outside while allowing communication. Receptors listen, channels open and close, signals arrive and alter behavior. Without boundaries, no organism, without permeability, no life. Perhaps that is also true in a looser sense of evening rest. The person in bed withdraws from the day, but does not seal off completely. Sounds still arrive, thoughts still arrive, the body still exchanges heat, air, moisture, and signals. Rest is not isolation, it is a different form of participation. As the night deepens, if sleep comes, consciousness will change more dramatically. But even if sleep is delayed, the body remains occupied with its quiet tasks. It does not wait for permission to maintain itself. It has been doing so since before the person had language for any of it. A heart formed and began beating in the embryo before there was memory. Neural tubes folded, cells migrated, lungs developed in fluid before ever touching air. The first breath after birth transforms circulation. Since then, breath and blood have continued their collaboration through every mood, every opinion, every forgotten afternoon. Lying in bed in the evening, one is accompanied by all of this, not as a lesson exactly, more as a fact with depth. The apparent simplicity of a resting body is a surface impression, like seeing a quiet pond and not immediately thinking of microorganisms, temperature gradients, dissolved gases, roots, sediment, insects, and the slow chemistry of decay and renewal below. The body is like that, still on the surface, elaborately alive underneath, and perhaps the most remarkable thing is that most of it does not need to be noticed. Consciousness is spared the burden of managing hemoglobin saturation, kidney filtration, synaptic modulation, liver enzymes, immune surveillance, and cellular repair. The person can simply lie there, maybe listening to the faint sound of their own breathing, maybe thinking of nothing much, While the hidden life continues, the evening body is not an object at rest. It is an event, a breathing, filtering, sensing, remembering, cooling, repairing, dreaming toward event.
And in the quiet of a bed, when the day has loosened its claim, that event becomes almost perceptible, not in its details, which remain mostly hidden, but in its general presence. The pulse somewhere in the wrist, the warmth under the blanket, the slow breath, the drift of thought, the small swallow, the heaviness behind the eyes. These are the visible tips of deep processes. Beneath them, the body continues its patient work, neither hurried nor idle, carrying the person through the threshold between waking and sleep.